Hello and welcome to another episode of You May or May Not Like It. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorcinX, and I'm here with Mike. You can find on Twitter, let's just say at Review and Roast, because his personal account is quite lame.
Super lame.
Today we are going to be discussing, we're going to be catching up on our Supergirl-ness of up until episode 15 was the last one that aired since we recorded this, so let's dig right in.
What do you think?
Do you like it or do you not like it?
Oh, I like it. Why, you don't like it?
I don't like things, but overall, the show is still really good.
Yeah.
So I believe the last time we talked about all this, we left off after Hostile Takeover?
Yes.
Okay, so now...
Yeah, that was right before the winter break.
Okay, so this will be Bloodbound...
Mid-season finale, let's call it.
Bloodbounds and Forward.
Beyond.
Yes. So I know it was... One of my complaints on the last one was, okay, now that you've shown us that you have Martian Manhunter, where the fuck is he? And I will admit, in the last couple episodes, he's been playing more of a role. And I understand it's not like the Martian Manhunter show, but I mean, why would you keep that under the rug? Right?
Right.
Right. Although I will say...
I mean, he did explain that the more he uses his powers, something.
The more the others... Like the white Martians were attracted to him.
Right.
And I understand that, but, you know, I do want to talk about that more so in the next episode where he was fighting Astra. I feel like someone who is arguably as badass as Martian Manhunter, I feel like everybody he's went up against has basically wiped the floor with him. And I think that's really annoying.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, not necessarily. I guess so. That's actually semi-true. Well, you know, the problem, I think, is they can't... Obviously, like you said, it's not the Martian Manhunter show, so I feel like they have the need to let Supergirl save the day, even if he's involved. He doesn't do a lot of savings of her.
No, I'm not saying he should. And I know that they're trying to portray the whole, like, you know, overcoming the struggle, and the villains are always slightly more stronger than, you know, the heroes. And I get it. It's been going on for 100 years, and I think it's a tad bit played out at this point. But
yeah, that's because the hero's always got to dig deep.
Yeah, but I feel like at least on occasion, it shouldn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. And oh, here's another thing that annoyed me, and this was the episode with the jailer. Okay, so he came with them from the Phantom Zone. He's now executing the ones that he did not get to execute in the prison in the Phantom Zone.
Right, because they don't kill.
Right. So
he's basically bringing them to justice is the...
Correct, because they didn't meet their end before.
They didn't serve their sentence.
Yet, he grabbed Supergirl for no reason. I mean, she was trying to stop him, but technically she didn't commit any crimes and he was going to kill her, number one.
Right.
Number two, everyone he was going up against, now all of a sudden all these aliens can shapeshift into humans? Like, what?
Yeah, they didn't really explain anything. But, I mean, as you know, the... Kryptonian types already look like us.
Right.
And that's what the jailer was, so fair enough.
No,
but then,
he was.
That one alien had his fake form or whatever, so I don't know. There's got to be... I mean,
it was just slightly annoying.
I was going to say rational explanation, but we're talking about comic books and fantasy land.
True. Like, I don't want to sound like, they're not doing it to the... Meh. You know, they're not scientifically correct.
You're coming off a little nitpicky.
Well, here's a little more nitpicky then. In the episode where the white Martian does come down and disguises himself as that politician.
Correct.
Why is it then when they're fighting and they knock out the white Martian, he forms back into the human form? Wouldn't you need to be conscious to make that effort to form into what you're not supposed to be?
Is that a true story?
Yes, it is a true story. Because he was fighting everyone as the white Martian. They knocked him out. He hit the ground, and then he turned back into the politician. And it's like, okay, well, now that he's out, let's, you know, string him up.
Or, I don't remember whatever. That part. Well, I mean, I remember it, but I don't remember that exact context.
You didn't just
binge
him all this week, I guess, like I did.
That's true, too.
I mean, this is all, you know, this all being said, overall, I still really enjoy the show, and I'm glad that it's on. But...
Yeah, I mean, I guess, from my point of view, if that's, like, your huge complaints... I mean, we're doing all right. I could find more things wrong with Flash, and I think that show's awesome. I know you're not into it yet, but sooner or later you will be.
Well, I was, and then I got rid of cable and lost the ability to record it and couldn't keep up with everything on the interwebs because, you know, it's free TV, but they only let you watch the last five episodes.
Yeah, five at a time.
You sons of bitches.
So we're going to get to, well, basically we'll do a quick recap. So when we come back after the break, I believe it was right before the break, Cat Grant had her theories about Kara being Supergirl. So that first episode back, Kat really presses Kara about whether or not she's Supergirl, this, that, and the other thing. And that's the first time Hank, Martian Manhunter, at the end of that episode, I believe it was, Kira. Kira's with Cat Grant, blah, blah, explaining things to her. And then Supergirl shows up, who is obviously the shape-shifting Martian Manhunter, to kind of discredit her. And then, you know, Kat goes on a little mini rant of, oh,
I now that I see you two together.
Yeah, you don't look anything like her, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, that was kind of a, I actually, not to be lame, I really wanted Kat to know.
I kind of did too.
You know what I mean?
Cause, yeah.
I mean, I guess that would mess the whole dynamic up of her being the boss, because she really, when she was coming to terms with the whole, like, she's probably Supergirl, like, it was, again, I hate to be a, I never thought I'd like Calista Flockhart, but, like, she plays that role pretty well. And when she was coming to terms with the fact that Kara probably is Supergirl, she almost started to form, like, admiration, I guess is the...
She wasn't bossing her around nowhere near as
much. Not really, but she really, like, she wanted her to be Supergirl full time, you know, and Kara kind of explained when she was talking with her friends that she needs that normal life and all of that. So, I mean, the cool thing about this show, I mean, I guess with all the shows that are on right now, like they give you a little more in depth to the person that's the hero. Where, I mean, they do a little in the comics, but not as, you know, not as, you can't really portray like all the emotions the way they can on TV, I think, and it's been pretty decent. I mean, I don't know a better way to explain that, really. I don't know. What do you think?
I think the last, like, 30 seconds I totally spaced, so I don't even know what you said.
All right, moving on.
But I do agree, though, with Calista Flockhart. You're not going to find anyone better, I don't think, to put in that role. Like, she is
so good. Dude, and I'm telling you,
good.
When I first even saw her pop on the screen, I'm like, oh, God, this lady again. I got to watch Ally McBeal fumble around this show. And like,
she's one of the best parts.
Yeah, sooner rather than later, man. She really... like, she's good. I mean, and maybe it's the role itself. Maybe that's just who she is in real life. Maybe she's a mean, controlling, sometimes heartful person. I don't know, but like, she does a pretty good job.
I agree.
I mean, most of the cast is actually pretty good. Again, the same old thing though. And getting into like the next couple of episodes, the whole like love triangle situation is still
annoying.
I mean, it's actually, now that we're up to, the last episode was episode 15. Now that we're up to there, it's kind of, well, I was going to say it's kind of downgraded, but not exactly.
Just so, as she's starting to smooth things back over with Wynn, who kissed her, and she was like, oh my God, I don't want to ruin our friendship. Right. And now Jimmy's single. She's like, well, what's
up?
Yeah,
and that was like the very next episode.
Our friendship doesn't matter, apparently.
We find out about Wynn, his dad is...
murderer.
Yeah, nicknamed the Toy Maker, and he is an overall bad guy, and there's kind of a manhunt, and Wynn wanted to keep it all private, obviously, for obvious reasons, and then that all got out, and Kat and everybody knows now, and it was during that situation, if I'm not mistaken, that he and Kara kind of shared a moment, and he went in for the smooch and kind of got stiff-armed.
So, which, by Supergirl, is, I mean, she put him across the
room. Good. It was pretty good. And then also in that episode, we had... Kat offered Lucy Lane a job, yes. And that was the whole thing with James, and it was kind of awkward and this, that, and the other thing. So, again, all of the, as much as I hate to say it, I keep beating this horse here, but is like all of the love interest stuff. I mean, I'm a boy, so
I'm a boy.
I'm just a boy.
I'm just a boy.
Well, it's you know, I know why it's there because a lot of people are into that. But like, as far as like me, I don't know. Personally, I'm just like, ugh.
I understand it.
I gotta go pee.
It's not that terrible, but when you shoehorn it in every chance you get,
yeah, it's like every there's always an awkward glance. You know, I don't mind the occasional, you know, sexual tensions, but like the blatant like. I like him, but he likes her, and this guy likes me, and it all just doesn't work. That gets annoying. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's liking the wrong person. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
Come on. Like. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Like, wind's going to bring you flowers every day. You're a nerd.
Right.
I mean.
Your hair is like an ocean.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. So, anyways, after that gets all sorted out, then you get a little more, backstory into John Jones with the whole white Martian coming to town. As you said, he takes control of the senator, or actually kidnaps her, right? And then kidnaps her form. So she's actually alive.
And this is very much Days of Future Past. The politician, we got to stop right. these yeah, aliens. Right. You know, I mean, it was yeah. very much
the soapbox, I hate aliens.
Yeah. Right. But now I've been saved by one, so maybe they're not so bad.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing, I guess, is you know, Kara's always changing the minds of the disbeliever.
It'd be funnier, I think, because obviously that's another story that's been done a million times.
Oh, right.
You can't think of something new, like, make it funny or something. Like, we're going to build a wall around Mars, and we're going to make them pay for it.
I mean, they could. But they don't even know there's Martians until the white one shows up. Who is...
Racist.
Yeah. White Martian taking over. So... The problem is, though, you have, and again, I'm not super familiar. I actually just picked up the new Martian Manhunter series. I didn't start reading it, though, because I wanted to, though, because I was actually interested in, like, the White Martian. Is that actually what DC's version of, what is their...
Their version of the Holocaust, do you mean? Because that was very German-esque.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So they give you the backstory on the White Martians come up from the ground and blah, blah, blah. They take over everything.
Yeah, they put the Green Martians in camps and,
right, and long make the men short, work
until they can. And
Jean was one of the last ones to make it out alive, let's just say.
I thought they said he was basically the only one that made it out alive after he watched his wife and two daughters get slaughtered.
Right, but in the original Superman origin, he was the only Kryptonian to make it out alive. So, I mean, there's always something.
Well, that's what he thought until his cousin showed up.
Oh, after Zod.
He doesn't know nothing. He was only a baby. Babies don't know anything.
Stupid baby. Babies are stupid. So, yeah, so we get the better origin into the whole, like, Martian Manhunter and kind of... you get to see him rattled, actually, because he has a genuine fear of those who put down his race. So
yep,
he's not. It was.
He froze up.
Yeah, it wasn't even anger. It was just. It was straight fear. It was actually that episode. I actually thought was pretty good.
Oh yeah.
I mean, again, with the exception of him getting knocked out and turned back to the senator or whatever you're crying about. But
hey, I just call it like I see it.
I mean, I don't think you saw it right.
I should have been on the show. I mean, it's...
You should be on the show. I don't know what you'd play.
coffee cart guy number
yeah,
six?
Right, yeah. Yeah, taco vendor. So, moving on from there, then we, you know, and then the next episode was actually, you know, people were actually kind of cranky about it because they brought out Bizarro.
Oh, yeah,
it's Bizarro Supergirl who actually... In the comics, is an actual real thing. There's a Bizarro everybody, really, because, you know, alternate universes, this, that, and the other thing. But online, you saw people like, oh, my, they just keep bringing out, recycling, you know, Superman's villains and all of that. And I was actually, I don't want to say on that bandwagon, but they were. I mean, they were using stuff from Superman, but you have to, you know, I kind of came to the realization of, you know, they're using that because that's what people know. If they just start trotting out all of these stuff from Supergirl comics, which nobody's read. I mean, I'm not going to say nobody. But obviously, if you asked 99 people, have you read a Superman comic or a Supergirl, most are going to say Superman. If we're talking about comic readers. So I see why they were doing that. But there is a such thing as a Bizarro Supergirl. So I didn't really think that was a big issue. I actually thought it was kind of cool, and they had... You know, basically, Max Lord got a hold of some DNA, one thing leads to another, and
you sound like very creeper. Wrong.
Yeah.
So now, I don't know how familiar you are with Bizarro's origins, but was Bizarro basically a human zombie?
I don't believe so.
Because I thought that was
kind of weird. I am absolutely not claiming to be an expert. But now, Kurt, I'm not really...
Although he did...
Now I'm trying to think of the points of that. Didn't they hit her with electricity?
She had everything that Supergirl didn't. So Supergirl's got, right? Like the frost breath or whatever. She has fire breath. They got laser eyes. They got...
cold eyes.
Yeah,
she has heat vision. She has cold vision.
Yeah.
What did they hit her with that actually ended up... mutating her look.
Oh, I think it was a tamale.
Tamales? Yeah, coming from the taco guy.
Hey, gotta push my brain.
But yeah, wasn't it, what did they, I can't remember if it was electricity. But basically,
no, they had Wynn whip up some kind of thing.
That gun. Yeah, I thought it was like maybe a... So,
I don't know, whatever.
Anyways, the point is, we don't know what we're talking about.
Because Krypton, or I'm sorry.
Oh, it was red kryptonite.
Kryptonite hurts Supergirl, so they... reverse engineered kryptonite, and that's what they used against Bizarro Supergirl.
Yeah, we got it. Now we're getting it.
And I will agree that, like, it was kind of weird that a motorcycle just passed and got recorded, but it also is weird that...
fresh air.
Right? Oh,
what was weird?
A dick.
Stupid motorcycles. Oh, I guess we'll...
Sons of bitches. Oh, like when they...
edit button.
When they quote-unquote arrested... Max Lord.
Right.
You know, and they're like, you know, even you're just, you can't just keep the guy. Like, obviously you can't, but then.
I mean,
like,
you could.
Not without some kind of explanation. You know?
I mean, you're not a real thing.
I don't know. But
I'm sure the CIA has taken a person or two.
And this is, well, this is the DEO. That's totally different. You
don't know nothing.
You're not
about
in the
nothing.
Know. But I, you know, I've done some computer work for them, so it's cool.
Yeah.
But.
Train of thought.
Yeah, it's off the rails.
Down the tracks.
Again.
Yeah, so anyways, I see where you're getting at with that, because they basically threw this guy in the glass cage and yada yada, but I don't know. It was...
Max Lord was where I was going with this.
Right, that's what we're saying.
Right, well, this has nothing to do with him being locked up. Just a simple fact, like, when he first came on, I'm like, hey, I remember that guy, Trip McNeely. You know, he was Can't Hardly Wait. He was all the high school movies, and I'm like, I don't know, this is gonna work. And I was like, all right, he's kind of awesome.
Actually, he's pretty good.
But these last like 5 or 6 episodes, he's just getting annoying now, like with his pseudo
smug attitude,
pseudo evil genius plans of trying to take everything over. But
well,
not,
he's
you know,
basically, and again, I'm not overly familiar with Max Lord in DC Comics, but he's basically her Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. I just, it's meh.
What?
I don't know. Like, he seemed, when the show started, he seemed like the quote-unquote good guy who just thought we could, you know, we need to prepare for the time that these aliens might not
be
here, or they turn
I mean, if you
us.
Ask
but
him,
now,
that's what he still is.
Well,
he,
now he's straight up trying to kill her. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, he was, and as we move on, that changes a little bit, but basically he's the bad guy with good intentions.
You're the bad guy with good intentions.
Yes, also true. But yeah, so I agree with that.
You may or may not like it.
What was that?
So, I don't know, but you just agreed to it, so.
I did. So basically, after the whole Bizarro thing, we skip over. Well, actually, at the end of that episode, Kara's back in the apartment and gets jumped by the flower.
Oh, yeah.
The parasite.
The octopus flower
thing. Yeah, the Black Mercy, they call it.
Why you gotta be remembering stuff?
Just,
how is it you remember all this stuff, and I binged all, like, 6
I have
episodes.
Our website open, and I wrote the reviews.
So nailed it.
ReviewingRose.com.
So, yeah, and we also launched our Snapchat, so go Snapping. Check that out.
Yeah, yeah, we got 4 of them up there.
Yep, nailed awesome. It.
So, anyways, basically, she gets hit with that parasite that messes with your mental and basically puts you in a coma where you... basically get everything you desire
supposedly, yes,
or what your heart's desire,
yeah,
what
it you gives you what you want, more or less,
right? Yeah, in a roundabout sort of way. So this episode was actually off to a rocky start to me, because I was just like, man, you know what I mean, Supergirl's out of commission, John Jones isn't turning into the green guy.
Well, now you sound stuff. Like me.
I know.
See, now, here,
And you probably loved this episode, right?
No, I didn't love it, but I will. I definitely have some complaints.
That's weird.
Right, I know, right? Well, I mean, hey, I understand. Nitpicking. I understand the whole, like, when she first got into this dream sequence where that she was like, this isn't right. But then the longer you're in there, the more it affects you, the more you start to forget your real life.
The deeper down the rabbit hole.
Right, more or less. The one part that really just kind of annoyed me was like, okay, you're going to link her sister up, brainwavely,
right,
to jump into the dream and help pull her out. I get it, but you're going into Supergirl's thoughts, but yet they put her, like, you know, across the courtyard in the guest house. Like, why? Why didn't she just pop right there in the room?
It's not a real thing.
I know it's not a real thing, but I'm thinking if I'm visually picturing, like, in a dream, this room, you know, and you come into my dream, you're going to pop, like, right here in this chair, not, you know, down at the corner.
Maybe you just can't appear. You have to
wander in.
Yeah, you have to walk into the scene.
And why is Supergirl thinking about what the rest of the house looks like?
What do you
mean?
See,
I'm just, whatever. I'm.
She knows what the house
looks
like.
Someone out
there,
most people are in their cars going, you're an idiot. But there's one guy right now going, I get it. I know what you mean.
No, that one guy is the idiot.
It's probably me when I listen to it back.
Yeah. There's that motorcycle. God, that guy makes sense. That guy makes sense. I wish he'd turn those motorcycles down.
I like that guy. We should get him on.
You know, that guy really knows what he's talking about.
He gets me.
Yeah, he's really.
Whatever. You know what I mean.
So, well, anyways, we sort of skipped over the point. There's two huge points in this episode. Right. One was the fact that Alex knew what to do was that Astra had come to visit her because she knew that the Black Mercy had Kara and could, I don't know if it would destroy her, but basically put her in a, I don't know, never-ending coma or whatever it is. Whatever the end result was bad for Supergirl, obviously. So Astra visited Alex, much to Alex's surprise, and basically sort of warned her / informed her of what the situation was, how they could possibly beat it, and that she has Kara's best interests in mind, really. And if you're watching the season, you know that Astra probably has had ample opportunity to put a hurtin' on Kara. Come on, that's a legitimate thing.
She was hurtin' for a squirt.
All right, take two. So, God darn it. Anyways, she,
oh, I remember her.
This train sucks.
She was hurting for a squirt.
Yeah, she was a hoe. Anyway, so she warns Alex and lets her know the deal. And that's when they decide that they can go into her thoughts and try and pull her back out of the dream and all of that stuff. In the meantime, Nan has been up to some devious plans. He's got different points in the city that they're, you know, going to blow some stuff up, like all bad guys always do. So the DEO, while that all is going down, they're on their way to go take care of this. And this is when the hugest thing of the season actually happens to date is basically Hank, the Martian Manhunter, gets into a fight with Astra and starts losing, as he so aptly does in this series.
Yep.
And right when Astra stalled. She totally stalled, but I still really love the character. And she, you know, she was basically telling John, like, hey, FYI, I'm giving you the hero's or the warrior's death, you know, like showing him a little respect. I mean, because she is, I thought she's like one of my favorite characters. I don't love Nan so much, but Astra was really good. And Astra's one of them people, it's almost like where you see where she's coming from, you agree with, like, she's one of those bad guys where you're like, you know, people should probably listen to her a little. She knows stuff.
Yeah.
So anyways, she's about to basically slit John's throat, and that's when Alex comes with the kryptonite sword and stabs Astra right in the heart.
Yep.
Which was pretty... I actually was like, man, I don't know if I believe that. Like, they can't just kill off the main awesome villain. But
well, they have to now because now they're going to finish out the season with Supergirl going against Nan, who is, you know, the crazy bad.
Well, and that's, I actually agree with that because, well, they're never going to make Astra the ally, and they were never going to make her go full-on evil because of family ties and this, that, and the other thing. So
wait, they have that show?
Yep. Yeah.
Alex B. Keaton.
Who is it? Trudy? Is Trudy on that one? No, that was...
Who the fuck is Trudy? You're thinking of the Cosby Show.
No, not the Cosby Show. The other one.
Never mind. Moving on.
Anyways, Trudy's not on the show either. Point is, yeah, Astra gets it. So that sucked.
Right, and then, you know, obviously Hank doesn't want the animosity to start building between the two sisters.
Right, so he takes the blame.
Right.
He tells Alex, hey, FYI, I'm the one that killed her, this, that, the other thing. And that starts a whole new problem, like, in the next episode, which is Scott's favorite with the jailer. Basically, Kara doesn't want to...
She basically quits the DEO.
Yeah, she quits the team. Let's
she
just
can't.
Say.
She can't work with Hank anymore.
Yeah, she can't look at him the
you.
Same way. Blah blah blah. Which I thought was, I don't know, I don't want to say excessive, but it was just like, I mean, I get where they're going with the story. You know, it's just purely written that way, but it was just kind of like one of those things where you're like, all right, settle down, lady.
Like, right. I mean, I get it.
The guy's not a killer. We all know that.
But like, you haven't seen your aunt in 10 years, and now she's here trying to kill you.
Yeah, but she... See, the difference with Kara and Kal-El was that she actually did live on Krypton for a minute, so...
Right.
You know, she did get to... I mean, if you hadn't seen a family member in 12 years, but you grew up with them, and it was your mother's twin, I mean, that's kind of a little more than...
I know.
It's a little more than nobody.
I'm just
so.
Saying, if it came down between you and Martian Manhunter, like, well, I would stab you.
But again, not to... Cold blood. Yeah, not to be overly Astra protective here, but like she, and not that Kara was getting through to her, but
I don't know.
She obviously had
like
moments
was.
Of not being such an evil
person. Kryptonian.
I was gonna say bitch.
I know. I don't
Anyways.
Know why you didn't. But.
Yeah, so she. So that was part of Kara's big thing, was that she thought she was going to turn her back to the light side. You know what
hey,
I mean?
Settle down, this ain't Star Wars.
Come to the light side, we have cookies. So anyways, basically that's the whole gist of that, which I don't know, I was...
I mean, I already had my griping session on the jailer episode, so...
Right. But, you know, the cool part about that episode was when he did have Kara captured and they had that goofy professor guy was also captured and he kind of told Kara the story about how he was imprisoned by Allura, her mother, and, you know, that he didn't hate her and, you know, it was kind of a...
Right.
You know, one of those situations where Kara sort of was like, oh, you know, this guy's actually not as bad as...
Right.
Whatever, he did his time.
He did what he thought he had to do for the betterment of his
right.
family.
And it was
he
just a person
caught,
that did
you know.
The wrong thing at the wrong time trying to... You know, with good intentions.
Right, yeah.
You know? So, what are you going to do? So, let's skip to the last episode we need to talk about to wrap this up here. And that is episode 15, Solitude. Which, oh, that's the one where we have Indigo, played by Laura Vandervoort, who actually played Supergirl on Smallville.
Yeah, she was really
and
good.
And who is super duper cute still. I mean... Not still. I mean, I don't know how old she is now, but.
Oh, so now she's too old to be cute?
She's super old.
She's not coming on the show now.
I mean, she's no Callista, but she's getting there. Well, she's got it. I mean, when was Smallville? Smallville's right. Got to be
well,
how old now.
I never watched it. I don't know.
Me neither.
So I guess in true fashion for me, I will start off with what.
What you hate?
Yes, very much so. Okay. Because this happens.
I didn't like her hair.
No. This, again.
She was too blue.
It's just me being me. But
it's weird.
Every time, and it was the same thing with that stupid movie, that Mission Impossible. We went to go. Like, if you're gonna have like computer type stuff going on,
computer?
At least make it real.
What do you mean?
Like, okay, I understand, okay, she's traveling through the computers, the internet, whatever, but, like...
Surfing the web.
A lot of their, like, whole, like, oh, well, they did an encrypted backslash face nuts thing, and I'll just go in here and read, configure the... Like,
yeah, didn't you ever see Independence Day?
None of that stuff is, like, real.
Didn't you ever see Independence Day?
Like, I mean, seriously, make a phone call. Talk to the guy serving you coffee. He probably knows what he's doing. At least have some of the lingo right. That just drives me nuts as a computer guy.
Yeah, all you gotta do is backslash it. Everyone knows that.
I'm just saying, if they went in there and they were talking about if there was some villain that was a pipe fitter specialist or some shit, and they were like, oh, we're going to take this steel pipe and we're going to weld it to you, be like, you got to use galvanized, you moron.
Do you know how many times you see in a movie where a guy's handcuffed to a pipe and he kicks it and it breaks? That's not how it works, but you don't see me crying.
Well, you just should.
Saying. Or when somebody because like how long somebody like knocks a radiator over and it just like cracks and the handcuffs are free.
Do you want to see me go kick some radiators? I'll show you some stuff.
I would love to see you kick a radiator.
I'm just saying, that kind of stuff bugs me because that kind of shit is so easy to get right.
No, I agree.
So, I mean, it drives me nuts when they do
stuff. Again, if that's your worst problem, I mean, you're doing okay.
No, exactly.
That's I thought the actual character Indigo, and I don't know too much about the whole Brainiac part of the Superman family. So,
although, I mean, come on. Okay, you got this villain who travels through computers, through the internet, like controls everything.
Right.
Like, first off, is controlling stuff that, like, for them to be sitting at the local, like, tabloid newspaper and be like, oh my God, he's in the system. He's changing all the street. Like, they don't have access to the street light. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they wouldn't see that on their computer screens.
Wynn does.
But anywho, besides all that, and Wynn's like, tapped in. Oh, let me just, I'm so much better than the FBI, the CIA.
Wynn's always backslashing.
He's like, oh, let me just go in here and write this virus, and this will totally kill her. Like, what?
I know, like, when he's at the DEO. Is that the same episode where, like, the DEO has him helping?
Yeah, and he's like, I wrote this virus 10 years ago, and if I upload this into her, boom, we're going to have her. Like, this doesn't work that way.
Yeah, basically, you can't be a superhero in DC anymore unless you have, like, a... expert hacker.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It just bugs me. Like, whatever.
Well, the cool thing is, though, after they defeat Indigo towards the end of the episode, basically Non... side note. Non and Indigo did know each other, and Indigo did bring up the fact that Astra's gone and everything's going to be like, now we're going to do stuff. Because she was holding everybody back or whatever the case.
I mean, all in all, that's a fantastic character.
Yeah, and I think the story, and I think that, like, so basically, you know, they give her the bug and she goes down. But basically, Non picks up the pieces, let's just say, for lack of a better term. Actually, he has her in pieces at the end, as a matter of fact.
Right, so someone who can break herself down, jump into an LCD screen and travel through the internet. But the one she has her torso here, her leg here, her arm there, she can't just...
Dude, quit being a goddamn
hater. Can't just T2 that shit back together. You know what I'm saying? It just...
I mean, it would be nice. But we don't
God,
have...
they need...
She doesn't have the technology.
They just
yet.
Need me for a consultant. I would stop so
yeah,
many
they'd never
of
get
my...
anything done.
I'd stop so many of my own gripes if they would just listen for
I don't know.
Minute.
You probably still have something to complain about. But anyways...
donuts ain't...
Yeah, that would be number one on your hate list. Whatever. So anyways, the point is, though... and while all this is going down, we failed to mention throughout, and then we're going to wrap it up here. We failed to mention the whole cat's son.
Oh.
Kara goes on a date. It doesn't really work out. Well, it doesn't not work out, but basically Kara figures out that she can't, let's just say, be in a relationship.
But now that Jimmy's available.
Right. It's James, by the way. Anyways, but... But so she figures it's not going to work, and in order to protect him, she breaks up with him. Cat gets a little cranky, and then she hires a new assistant. So now you have Siobhan Smythe.
Assistant one and assistant two.
Right, who Kara's immediately bumped to assistant two, which was pretty nifty.
Yeah.
And then with the new assistant, you know, she's basically wants to be the next Cat Grant, so she's very driven and... tries to show up Kara every chance she gets and does a pretty good job of it for the most part. But, you know, when it's crunch time, Kara knows the ins and outs of what to do, and they kind of allude to that. And then the new assistant, Siobhan, kind of, let's just say, becomes not friends with Wynn, but they sort of get to talking, and something might be happening there in the episodes to follow. And while all that's going on, I don't know, did Lucy decide to quit, or what was her deal?
I don't know if she exactly quit, but she definitely...
I don't think she quit her job, but she basically...
She dumped James.
Yeah, she dumped James solely for the fact she doesn't know that Kara is Supergirl, but basically James was going to tell her that in an effort to rebuild trust, because Lucy was having trouble with all the time that he was spending, you know, getting information, working with Supergirl on the super team or whatever.
That's the whole reason.
So, again, that's why the love interest thing for me is just super uber underlyingly annoying.
The whole reason they
just beat bad guys up.
The whole reason they broke up in the first place was because he was spending too much time with Superman. So now they're here, and she's like, oh, you're spending too much time with Supergirl. Right. But this goes back to, you know, earlier when you were saying, well, I understand they couldn't exactly let Cat Grant know that she's Supergirl because that's not something you want to get out. And then they're like, yeah, just go ahead and tell Lucy it's me. Like that.
Yeah.
You're going to tell the, like, reporter who wants to, like, dish on
the
DEO.
Who, never mind, whose father is, like, the evil general. Not evil, but, like.
Yeah, you want to tell the military reporter. Who wanted to bust out the DEO.
General's the dickhead that made something that was supposed to beat Supergirl up and then got mad when Supergirl beat it up.
By the way, that's Supergirl. Like, it's just, if that's something you don't want people to know, then, yeah, Lucy's probably one of the people you don't want to know either.
Right. Agreed. I'm digging it.
So, yeah, I think that's all I got to say on that.
That's all I got.
But overall, I really did still enjoy it. It's a fun show.
Show's going pretty good. And again,
and I'm glad it got picked up for a second season.
Right. That I was just going to bring that up, which is actually kind of huge. And also, side note, like the CW picked up all their DC shows as well, along with a couple of others. But basically, Flash, Arrow, Legends, and iZombie are all coming back, which is pretty cool. Those are all. I watch all of those, and they're all pretty good. I mean, some are much better than others.
You watch iCarly?
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Well, side note.
Yeah.
There is actually going to be a Supergirl panel at C2E2, which is next weekend, which we will be attending, and I'm hoping that we can get into it, because it'll be...
There's going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. panel, too. I think I... Did I
yes,
mention
you did.
That to you?
But this one will be basically Supergirl and her sister.
That's pretty dope.
So I was kind of hoping maybe we can
what
try
day
to
is
get
that?
Into that. Saturday? Maybe?
I think
sent you the link.
Yeah, it's like
we can discuss
3 in the afternoon later. Or something.
But anywho, so hopefully if we can get to that, maybe we'll... actually, in the next...
It's just a matter of sitting in line, right?
Yeah. In the coming weeks, just, you know, we're
probably
going to have
a lot of
C2E2
stuff.
Yeah, stay
tuned, because we're going to have a lot of C2E2 content for sure. Yeah, we're going to be...
Pictures.
We're going to be there all 3 days doing stuff and things, so...
Yeah, hopefully get some more guests on soon.
Snapchatting, Periscoping.
Oh, yeah. That's,
maybe
that's
Periscoping?
Yeah, I will be Periscoping from C2E2. We'll be Snapchatting from C2E2, so don't forget to follow both of those, you know, at Review and Roast.
And we'll be Instagramming probably just loads of cosplay.
And then I'll have high-res versions for Facebook the following week after I can download them and stuff. But other than that, I think that's going to wrap us up for today. So don't forget to...
Throw a number at the show while you're at it.
Throw a number at the show. I'll throw an 8 at it.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what I have on the site right now. I think I got right around there.
Well, calculate it all and average it out.
Maybe there's
7.92.
Well, actually, hold on. You know what? While I'm here... Actually, I have it at an 8.4, and actually the user average is also 8.4, which is weird.
Yeah, so if you love the show and you think it should be higher, don't forget to get to that site and add your...
Hey, if you hate
rating.
It and you think it should be lower, do that too.
Yeah, give it a 0 if you want.
Hate mail, still mail. I'll take it.
Word. So... Nailed it. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX, and you can find Mike at Review and Roast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Review and Roast. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next week.